They said to him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That meant the kingdom of God, established here on the earth. Why didn't he just tell them, well, don't worry about this time because you're going to be dead and gone. I mean, generations are going to be gone. Many Christians are going to be dead in their graves. And don't you worry about it. It's not going to happen in your day. But he didn't say that. He said something more like this. It's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own power, his own authority. So why didn't you just tell them? Evidently, it's good for us to think that the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's what Jesus said originally. The kingdom of God is at hand. And it's the scoffers who say, well, you know, it's not going to happen now. Don't worry about it now. So we must then take stock of ourselves now. I quoted just several statements in the Old Testament. Jeremiah says, turn now. This is what God says to him. Turn now. And in the Greek, in the New Testament, the Greek word is nun, N-U-N. And if you want to make it more immediate, it's nuni, N-U-N-I. And here we have it used in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. But now you also put off all these, put aside all these, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. All these you put off now. And I'm going to read it from the New English Translation. But now put off all these things, anger, wrath, rage, malice, slander, abusive language from your mouth. Put these off when? When do we do this? When do we get around to doing this? We do it now. Because we don't know. You know, we had this thing where Jesus could come like a thief in the night. He could come, people think he could come at any time. A lot of people thought he already came. But here's what Romans says in Romans chapter 13, dropping down to verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. And it means not the death sleep, but waking from drowsiness, waking from your sleepy world of being non-attentive, of being not alert. It's high time. It's well already past that time. Then the next sentence says, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Now it's nearer. And you say, well, oh, okay, I don't see the temple being built. I don't see this happening. I don't see the plagues. I don't see all this stuff. I don't see all this. How can it be nearer? Well, it's nearer because the day you die will be the next moment of your consciousness. You'll be in the kingdom. Christ will have returned. You will see that. You will be caught up together in the air because those who are alive, Paul said, are not going to go ahead of the people who died in faith. For now our salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. When we first believe, it means. The night is almost gone, Paul writes. This is Romans 13, verse 12. And the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. Don't stock up for the flesh in regard to its, that lower nature in regard to its lusts. And we have a marvelous example in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119. This is David's statement. David's statement in verse 59 and 60. I considered my ways. This is Psalm 119, verse 59. I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. I hurried up. I'm not going to sit around and wait. I'm hurrying up to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, and I'm going to do it now. So as you heard in the previous message, you can talk to your father now, when it's a good time to talk to him, okay? Well, we'll wait to see. Now, if something happens, then we'll wait to see. When's a good time to talk to him? Talk to him now. You know, the book of Deuteronomy gives us this little passage. It's a very interesting passage. Paul uses it in the book of Ephesians regarding Christ himself. But in the book of Deuteronomy, it's talking about the law. Paul used it then and substituted Christ for the law. But let's take a look at it. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He's trying to take away all excuses. Here it is. Deuteronomy 30, dropping down to verse 11. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. You know, God, boy, if we could just, you know, I don't have a hold of it, it's too far out there. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? It's not in heaven. The commands of God are not in heaven. Nor is it beyond the sea, verse 13, that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it so that we may observe it? You know, these, like all excuses, it's, well, I think that commandment is so far away. I don't know. I don't think we really understand it. I don't think we understand what God wants. I don't think we understand God's will. I don't understand it. But verse 14, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. That's where the word is. It's not far off. These commandments are not very far. They're not difficult. They're not obscure. They're not far off. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, in that I command you today, what? To love the Eternal, your God. To walk in his ways. You know, you're going to talk by them as you go by the way. You're going to talk with him. And you walk with him in his ways so you can talk with him. And to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments that you may live and multiply and that the Eternal your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. Now, this was said to Old Testament Israelites who did not have the Spirit of God, who were just basically a nation. They were trying to worship God as a nation. We have an individual contact with that God who is our Father. Thomas Carlyle, a philosopher, I think he was... He had a lot of writings, and he had a lot of things that were quotations, and this is one of his quotations. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. He said this also, every day that is born into the world, every day that is born into the world comes like a burst of music and rings the whole day through, and you make of it a dance, a dirge, or a life march as you will. We have opportunities that come to us every single day. Every day comes bursting into the world, and you're going to make of it what you will. Jesus said it this way, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's our first priority in life? The kingdom of God. And all these things will be added. When do we start seeking the kingdom of God? When do we start seeking these things? When do we start seeking that relationship with our Father? When do we start turning to God? Do we wait until we see the plagues? We see this and we see that, we see that. Or just, we could just rest now because there's no urgency. I don't see it happening. Take your time. And bang, you have a heart attack and that's it. That's the end for you. The end came. Christ came, so to speak. So Jesus writes, and Jesus said, it's quoted in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 now, so do not worry about tomorrow. That's what Thomas Carlyle says. Our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Every day has enough trouble of its own. And talking about days, this famous passage in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. You remember that passage? It emphasizes days, and it emphasizes this day. Today, if you hear his voice. What did they do? He's talking to them about the days that they were there. Therefore, holy brethren, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our profession. He was faithful to him who appointed him. And he talks about the house. And then he comes down to verse 7. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says. Now notice how Paul and the early writers of the New Testament don't say, as the Holy Spirit said. And when Paul was quoting in the book of Galatians, he uses a present tense. What does the Scripture say? He didn't say, what did the Scripture say? What did it say? What had it been said? What does the Scripture say? Meaning, saying today to us. Because the Scripture is always speaking to us. It speaks to us today. And it speaks to your heart. It speaks to us. So, as the Holy Spirit says, and that's from the book of Psalms, okay? Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, you hear God's voice? See, you've read the Bible. You've heard so many sermons. You ought to have the Word of God up here. And it's true. You don't have to walk along with your Bible to talk to God. You have so much here to talk to God about. You already know God's plan. You already know God's will. You already know what you're supposed to be. You already know the commandments. You already know all that. And you know beyond the commandments. In the New Testament, some people call the spirit of the law. You know all that. You know it. Today, if you hear his voice, you hear his voice today. Do not harden your heart as when they provoked me, as in the day in the wilderness. Now, what happens when they harden their heart? They just forgot. They forget. They forget all the lessons that they've ever learned. They just don't. A hardened heart means something that bounces off your brain. You don't hear it. You don't remember it. It doesn't stay with you. It doesn't make an impression inside the brain. And therefore, you just didn't learn. And you never learned anything from the lessons. They just didn't learn it. They had lessons. They didn't learn the lessons. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as when they put me to the trial, he says. Well, your fathers tried and tested me and saw my works for 40 years. Now, this is in the book of Psalms. He's talking about this. And now Paul's quoting it, the author of Hebrews here, Paul, quoting it to the New Testament people. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. I said, they always astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And then he says in verse 12, take care, brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. Mind, heart, the center of all your emotions and understandings, that falls away from the living God. Take care, brother, there be not in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. An unbelieving heart is evil. It's an evil thing not to believe. Not to believe God, not to believe God's word. And encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called what? Today. When are we going to get around to encourage one another? When are we going to get around to following? We're going to do it today. And if you don't do it today, when? Then when does it come up? Now, if you hear his voice. Today, if you hear his voice. But there are people that will, I know they will, there will be people who say, well, we'll get around to it someday. when we see the prophecy being fulfilled, when we see the temple being built in Israel, when we see the plagues come on, when we see the drought and the famine really bad, because, you know, we had a drought here, but it cured up. So I guess it's not really time to get too serious because we don't have a drought anymore. And all the lakes are filled and the mountains have snow in them. And so we're all right now. We don't have to pray so fervently. We don't have to be so much on the alert. We can just take our time now. There will be people saying that. When we hear of wars and rumors of wars, well, right now there doesn't seem to be any war, so we're all right now. I don't see so many plagues and diseases sweeping our country, so we're all right now. You're going to wait till it happens? You think you're going to wait till it happens? You know, we need to take a lesson. Do you remember that parable of the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man died, you know, and then Lazarus died, but then the rich man died. And in the parable, you have Abraham taking Lazarus to himself and the rich man looking at the flaming fires of Jesus Christ's face and worrying and is sweating and is just terrified, having to answer for his cruelty in never feeding this poor beggar who was out in front of his gate all those years. Day after day after day, he walked by and let him die. And now he's facing judgment and the judgment of God. And then he remembers, he said, "Look, my brothers knew this guy. Send him, would you, to my brothers." And this is where we pick it up in chapter 16 of the book of Luke. He said to him, "I beg you, Father," meaning Father Abraham, "that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he, meaning Lazarus, may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment, an inner torment that he faced because he's being judged now by God." But Abraham, in this parable, said, "They have Moses and the prophets." Now think about that. They have Moses. That's the first five books. They have the prophets. That's the second section of the Old Testament. They have Moses. They didn't have Ephesians. Jesus didn't have Ephesians. There was no Galatians. There's no book of Hebrews there. There's no book of Revelation. Jesus is giving this parable in his day. They have Moses and the prophets. He says, "Let them hear them." Now think about that. The rich man is saying, "Send this guy that they all knew out in front of our gate. Send him. He's resurrected now. Send him to my father's house and warn them that they can't act like I did and they won't come to this place of worship." At least he had the decency. He wanted to save his brothers, you know, his brothers of his father's house. And Abraham says, "Let them hear. That they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he, pleading now, he said, "No, no, Father Abraham, no, no, no. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." If they could see this guy that they saw out here, they saw him die, we all saw him die. If they could see this guy back alive, they will repent. That's what everybody thinks. See, if you could have just seen Jesus in the resurrection, if you could have just put your finger in the nail holes in his hand, would your faith be that much more increased? You think so, don't you? We all think that. We all think if we could just see it, if we could just experience it, if someone would come to us from the dead, it would really enliven our spiritual life. And it's not true. It's just not true. Because here's what Jesus Christ says. And he puts the words in Abraham's mouth. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, in other words, if you can't listen and believe this, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. So if we're waiting for that great miracle, if we're waiting for that very powerful event, if we're waiting to see it firsthand, and we have this, no, we're waiting, we're doing the wrong thing. For if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded. If your heart is so bad, if your mind is so wrong, if you can't be persuaded by the scriptures, by the words of God, what can happen to you? You won't be persuaded by a miracle. Are you persuaded by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? All we have for that are these words. We believe it, but none of us have put our finger in his hand. None of us have touched him physically. Do you believe it? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart.